Well, good afternoon, everybody. Friday afternoon, end of the week. I hope everybody's had a fantastic week and you're ready for the weekend. But before you do, we have one more fantastic podcast episode for this week. It's episode 83 of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I'm Darren Saul, your host, and I'm here with the fabulous Paul Sheaf. Hello, Paul.
G'day, Darren. How are you? Podcast 83, it's nearly my age.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, number 83. I'm impressed. I'm waiting to get to my 100. I'm going to be a big celebration, big party when I get to number 100.
You'll deserve it.
Thank you, mate. But
in your chair there talking for that long.
Yeah, you bet. But for everybody out there, it's going to be a fantastic show. I'm really excited, because we're going to be talking all about video, which is a real passion of mine and obviously a passion for Paul. Using video to grow your business, the why, how, and where to use video in your business to help you grow. And for everybody who doesn't know who Paul is, I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown. So Paul Sheaf is the founder and owner of Paul's Productions, creating engaging video content for business since 2002. Paul's Productions focuses on B2B video production with the aim of helping other businesses to make their brand stand out in a crowded marketplace, reach more potential clients, and grow their business to be more profitable. Paul's background consists of 47 years extensive experience in technology, including electronics, communications, telecommunications, IT, photography, and video. Paul is also heavily involved in multiple local community and business networks. So my friend Paul Sheaf, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Darren. 47 years, it wasn't far off from being half, your podcast 83 being something like my age.
That's fantastic. Well done. And you've really come up the ranks. You've done everything, haven't you?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I'm out videoing and live streaming a funeral this morning, so I've got to get a little more practice in that so I can set up for mine.
Right. Yep. Beautiful. But, mate, tell us a bit more about you and your journey, maybe something that I haven't covered in the intro.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a – that far back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I grew up in a small country town in northern New South Wales.
Lovely.
The name will slip later, so I might as well tell you now. It's Mullumbimby.
Mullumbimby, of course.
Mullumbimby, yeah, just in a little bit north and inland from Byron,
yep.
And inland from Brunswick Heads. Yep. So that was my hometown, and I did all things that young people did in fitness and swimming and all that sort of stuff over the years. My parents had a bus company, and Mum was keen on doing floral arrangements. Dad was a horticulturist as well as running the bus company. So I grew up with a pair of Dad's overalls on with all the arms and legs rolled up, handing him spanners underneath the bus, and then getting sprayed with nitrosol and aquasol when he was fertilising all his plants. That's why I grew so much. So that was good. So that developed an interest in plants and growing veggies and indoor plants and orchids in particular. That was his specialty. Then they retired and moved to Brunswick Heads. And then as a mid-teenager, of course, the surf was very attractive there. So I did a lot of surfing in the surf club. I rode the boat and paddled the ski and was life-saving and swimming and all the sort of stuff that you do when you live by the beach for a few years before I came to Sydney.
Before you came to the big smoke.
Yeah, to the big smoke. I said, you get on the train at the station headed towards Sydney, you wave goodbye, and what's next? But in those years, I always had an interest in electronics.
Yeah.
And I learned how to solder from a mate of mine who was a bit older, and he played in a local band. Actually, their band used to have a gig at up on the Gold Coast, and they were sort of next to this young, light-haired guy who went a fair bit further than them. Johnny Farnham did.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
But, yeah, this guy was really helpful. And he taught me to solder and do all sorts of, you know, fancy things. So I soon worked out why valves in the back of the old radio in those days glowed hot, because there's a lot of electricity in there, and I'm lucky to be here today. Yeah. So I got into a traineeship with the Postmaster General's Department. That's the old PMG, which later went on to become Telecom Australia and is now Telstra.
Right, great.
And I was there for 30 years.
Wow.
So my traineeship was about electronics and communications. Mm-hmm. So we did everything electronics and electrical communications. And then in the, that was the tech course side of it. And in the PMG training side of it, we learned about telecommunications. Perfect. All sorts of things about telecommunications, from hanging walls on phones or phones on walls to long line transmission, making lizard juice figures on the test equipment, you know, like the ABCs thing that goes and spins around. Yeah, we produce that, and visited a lot of places right around New South Wales to test the quality of the transmission lines, the interstate lines, the Sydney, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne coaxial cable system, and different things like that.
Gotcha.
So that was really great. It was also a big party time for a lot of those years.
Yeah.
So that gave way then to actually getting positions where I could actually produce something sensible and be productive for the company.
Yeah.
And I got into data side of things. And then someone popped up this thing that they called a desktop computer. I thought, hey, got to have one of them. and my first one was a clone of an Apple II. There was no hard drive. There was no floppy drive even. And you had to type on the keyboard, and you'd plug it into either a television set, or you could stick a monitor on it if you could afford that. And you'd type in your program in machine language or assembler code.
Wow. Yeah.
And then if you wanted to save it, you'd save it out through the audio port onto a cassette tape.
Right. Yeah.
And then play it back in the other way. So that was my first bit of IT. So that's a fair while ago.
Yeah.
And then IBM produced their new series of processors, which is sort of grown right up to today. Before that, they were really proprietary and sort of didn't count much. Yeah. And I shifted from the Apple domain to PC with an IBM clone, an IBM compatible machine with a 286 processor in it.
Wow.
And a whole, I think it had 1 meg of RAM.
Well, that's it.
How much you got in your phone these days?
Oh, I've got, I don't know, 200 gig or something.
Yeah, exactly. So that, which is for those unlearned, which is 1,000 meg a gig. So that started my career in IT.
Right.
I started fiddling with them and pulling them apart and doing stuff and adding bits in and writing a bit of code, and some of my mates were doing that together as well. We started networking, and I had a Novell network, which was built for me and the section that I worked in. And it was a 286 computer. It had a 70 megabyte.
You're right.
70 megabyte hard drive.
Wow.
That everyone connected to.
Wow.
And from there, I went into doing Unix systems and really starting to get serious now. I actually did all the training in Unix, and the more training I did, the more I hated Unix. I couldn't wait to get away from that. But I still managed these Unix systems for quite a few years, but I didn't have to touch them too much because we grew and I had a whole staff that would do that. And the system that we started with, I didn't design it, but I helped install it and manage it. It eventually became a national system. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of data lines in and out. We had these Unix boxes in a computer room that I designed and built. and then another one that was bigger in an office building in the city, and then eventually migrated the whole lot of mine plus all the other capital cities that had the same into data center, where Telstra's mainframe type systems live. So I, you know, got a bit of a fiddle with the everything that sort of goes on in that space as well. Then I saw a job and I went for it. Actually, I had one other little, a few months of a project management job, which was interesting because the scale of IT, there was a mainframe system. For the people that don't know, a mainframe system is the massive computer behemoth thing.
Yes.
Looks like rows and rows of fridges all sitting connected to each other. Look like a bit like a bit of a maze. It would probably
take up a whole room. Can take up a whole room.
Yeah, probably about a quarter of the size of my house.
Yeah.
But that doesn't include the disk. The disk was actually in what they call a disk farm, sort of next to it, where each disk drive is about the size of a small bar fridge or a washing machine. And there were rows and rows and rows and rows. In total, I'd say it was probably about one and a half tennis court size.
Wow.
That was the disk farm.
It was just a disk farm.
It was costing a bomb to maintain this thing. So someone had designed a Unix system that would take over the processing of the applications that this thing did. And I got the task to project manage the implementation, not my design. Remember, I hated Unix. Didn't have to have anything to do with Unix there, but I project managed this. Yeah. So,
and you hadn't touched video up to this point at all, had you?
No, no. Apart from borrowing a camera from work a few years earlier and taking it home to video my kids when they were little.
Right,
and the deal was you buy your own tape, video your kids, and then take the camera back on Monday and put it back in the cupboard.
Well, you always had a passion for video from way back?
Yeah, and I also had a passion for photography.
Oh, good.
Because my father's is going back again to when I was about this high. my father taught me to make a photograph.
Nice. Well done. I'm glad you said that because I'm a photographer. And when I learned photography, my teacher, Marco Bock, if Marco's ever listening, Marco said to me, a photographer makes a photograph, doesn't take a photograph. They're two very different things.
Exactly. So he had an SLR with two lenses.
Yep.
It was a Praktika. Probably vintage 1950-ish.
Yep.
Well before I was born, he was in a camera club.
Yep.
And, of course, they used slides in those days. And the camera club would go out, or he and his, some of his mates would go out, and they'd sit on the top of a bus. And we had a bus company. They'd park up on the top of a hill and climb up on the roof of the bus and sit to wait for the sun to come out.
Yep.
Come up and see who could make the best photograph.
Exactly. Yep.
Stuff like that. Yep. So he taught me how to use that. Totally manual, of course, nothing automatic. There's no big aim. You know, you set your, yes, you get your light. So it's a mouse, but we'll pretend it's a light reader. Yeah. You do the light. Okay, righto. We'll set the dial for that. What size, what speed film are we using? Okay, you set that on the camera. Line it up, check it, double check it. You know, like the carpenters do. You measure twice and cut once.
Yep.
So, and take the photo, and that's the photo.
That's it. And so then, how did you?
None of this.
That's in the digital age. That's what we do now because we can.
But
in
those days,
film was more expensive. Everything was more expensive to process. Every frame was sacred. You wouldn't waste it.
Absolutely.
A very different way. But so when did you start?
You only had 36 on a roll.
That's right. So when did your passion for video come about?
Okay, well, it was a little bit later. After that that project management job, I was looking for something else to move on to because that was only a short term. And I got the job as the IT manager for Telstra for the Sydney 2000 Olympics. So the IT manager, my role was to manage the implementation of a data network and the IT systems for Telstra, but also to convert the lingo between the IBM IT people who were putting the Olympics computer systems together and our engineers who were building the telecommunications links. And telecommunications, IT, often there's a bit lost in the translation, so that was me in the middle. As we started to build the venues, I was... can we pause this?
No, we're going live. We're live now.
Okay. Sorry. Yes, as we started to build the venues, I had to report on all of the venue's security and take photographs, and in some cases I took some video. Because we had some really high level requirements that had never been done before. And our security people said, no, you can't do that. And I said, well, we will. We need you to help us do it. No, you're not allowed to. So you're telling us that we can't run the Sydney 2000 Olympics. We're cancelling the Olympics.
Oh, boy.
Well, can't you do something else? No. We're the telecommunication sponsor. We need a basically a Telstra shop in a tent.
Oh, my God.
Out in the middle of the paddock, you know. No, you're not allowed to do that. I said, well, you work out a way. Anyway, so that's what we did. So I was photographing cable tunnels and channels and all sorts of things, you know, and taking bits of video. I filmed a few different things. I guess the turning point was, and this is a relevant example because it equates to what I do still today, and I'm talking something I did 20 years ago. The guy's going to ring the doorbell.
That's all good. We're all very relaxed and casual. Part of the fun.
It's the guy coming to measure up my roof. Tell him we're half an hour late. Yeah, so our general in the Olympics, you learn from the previous city that had it 4 years before, and at the same time you teach the city that's having it in 4 years' time.
Right.
So our general manager got the call, the request, and you don't, the only answer is yes. Can you come to Crete to tell us about blah, blah, blah? We need you to do, you know, a half to a 1 hour presentation.
Right, great.
You're talking about going somewhere over there near Greece to do this presentation.
It was 1 hour presentation.
Right. Yeah. So he got head together with me and said, you know, don't really want to go. And, you know, it'll take nearly a week to do this. I'll be out of the office for all this time, the cost, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, I've got a way we can do that. How about you got your PowerPoint presentation? I will video you presenting to your PowerPoint and we'll send them a tape. This was long before we had DVDs. I'll send them a tape and a disc with your PowerPoint on it. We need them to send them instructions. You need two TVs. You're going to play the tape on this TV, and whenever you give the magic signal, you'll advance the slides on the monitor next door to it.
Gotcha.
He said, good. So we started out on the balcony. We were on the top floor of a big city building, and he started there. The view behind me is, you know, he introduced himself. The view behind me is actually the venue for the sailing in the Sydney 2000 Olympics. And we looked down, we could see right down the harbour. You know, what a beautiful opening shot. So, and then we went inside and he stood up and he did his presentation. We sent it off and then we sat in his office with our feet up having a cuppa. And then they did a conference call and he answered questions for half an hour.
Right.
How cool is that? Now, that was 20 years ago.
Yep.
And from that point, I thought, yeah, I could do this. I wouldn't mean I could do it. I just did it. And so after the Olympics, and we put the cat out and turned the lights off, and I started Paul's Productions.
Fantastic. Wow. So that, that was 2002, wasn't it?
2002, yeah. I had another 18-month project after putting the, that cat out, mm-hmm. and went to play with a couple of guys next door for 18 months. Then I got another chance when the CEO was trying to make the budget look right in the last week of the financial year. Yeah. Tap her on the shoulder, fill, bring your wheelbarrow and fill it up with bullion, and off you go. So, so that was... By that time, I had everything set up. I started doing telecommunications, IT, photography, video.
Yep.
I built websites. I would install or have it, you know, sell Big Pond internet. Remember, who can remember when broadband first came in?
Yeah, I can barely remember.
It was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Because I got installed the very first Big Pond cable internet connection into my office in the city as soon as it was announced. I said, I want one here. so it was while I was working in the Olympics unit. But I could do a connection for a business. I could do their landline phones. I could do their mobile phones, sell them computers, build a network, all of the hardware they wanted basically if they moved into an empty office except the desk, the chairs, the furnishings, and do all of that, as well as build their website, take photos, make videos, and gradually do their social media as it was coming around as well. Yeah. Now, I soon worked out that it's really difficult to keep a track of IT and video because both are moving so quick.
That's right.
So guess which one I ditched?
IT. Yeah.
Everything IT and all of that, totally ditched it. But that's my background.
Really?
And it all goes to serve where what I do now and how I go about it and how I plan and put together the a video for a business. Thinking about all of those things and the communications and how are we going to communicate the message of the business.
Exactly.
So I even gave up doing B2C type work,
right?
With the exception of funerals, which we'll talk about later. I did that one this morning. I work with a business because we can grow their business if we use the right type of video, used strategically in their marketing.
But actually, let's just take one step back before we get into that. Why is video so important these days? Why should we use video?
Because Google loves video and so do people.
Right.
So let's say, talk about a website because that's the most common, the common thing, but it could be somewhere else. When there's a video on a website, Google, a good one, Google has a greater chance of finding it, indexing that site, and helping to rank that that site.
So video is good for SEO, is it?
It's great for SEO.
Right.
Remember that Google is the biggest search engine.
Yep.
And YouTube is the second biggest search engine.
Yep.
That's right. And YouTube is owned by... Google, yes.
Of course.
So if you're using video in that sort of situation, so Google finds it, helps your site get found. So what happens when someone finds your site and they come to it? If you're faced with like a newspaper of of text, your eyes glaze over and you just hit the back button.
Yep.
But if there's photographs, that's great. If there's live video on that site, 60 to 80% increase in engagement of people watching your site, on your site, watching the video. Perhaps they're looking at some of the text in there as well. They're getting that message. They're getting the personality of you, the owner or the manager of that business. and they're getting to know you.
Definitely. And I'll just, that's a really good point you made, because nowadays, from a marketing point of view, we all, you know, we're bombarded with messages and brands and, you know, information constantly. But I think the real strength is when a business owner or a entrepreneur can allow the audience to connect with them as a person.
And absolutely.
Video does that. That's why video is so powerful, I think. That's one of the reasons.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So it allows you to understand the personality behind the brand.
Yep, exactly. Totally right. And whether it's a website or other social media, whether it's customers, members of an organization, you know, which we can talk a little about some of those different types of things. So it allows the viewer to get to know you, eventually become to like you, and we'll talk a little bit later about how they can get to trust you.
Definitely.
And who do we buy from? Do we just, you know, I'm constantly getting fridge magnets and flyers and stuff in the letterbox.
Yeah.
But if I ask someone, you know, if I want someone to mow me lawns or a cleaner, I'd rather ask somebody, have you got a cleaner and are they any good?
That's right. That's right.
I'm looking for that testimonial.
That's right.
Yeah, but they're really dear. Yeah, and actually I had someone do a first clean yesterday from someone that I know, like, and trust. So I know that I'd be getting a good referral.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we do that to someone we don't know? And if we find someone on the website, so we've got to go through that process. We need to connect to the people, as you say, get to know you through your personality. They find out that you are experienced and expert in solving a problem that you have.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're not there to play tiddlywinks.
No, that's right.
You must have a problem. You know, I've got a leaking tap or a burst water main. I'm looking for a plumber. And
sure. Looking for a plumber that's reliable, that's
reasonable. Yeah, my last plumber died. I just filmed his funeral, you know. So I need a new plumber. So if I'm looking at a couple of websites, if it hasn't got video on it, it's going to be really hard.
Definitely.
To get that, you know? Yeah.
So what do you say to people then that say, oh, I don't like being in front of the camera. I don't like the way I look. I don't like talking to the camera. What do you say to those people?
You want to see a goose in front of a camera? Hi. know, most people that see me out here say, get back behind the camera where you belong. I know it can be awkward. It's a case of practice, and I coach people to be able to be able to present fairly well in front of the camera. And the more they practice it and the more we work together, the more at ease they can become. I help them work on a script if they need it. Some people don't need it. They just come in, try it. I know what I'm going to say. Bang, out it goes. I help them work on a script. I help them with a little bit of SEO on their scripting as well. It'd be better if you use this word or that word.
Yep, good.
Because if we've recorded them talking about their business, it's also good SEO to get a transcript of what they said and, you know, put that into the system as well for the SEO. But so I work with them on that. They practice it. We do have a few dry runs and we have a number of takes. And then we'll use the magic tool, the teleprompter. I'm not using here today, but the teleprompter.
That makes you look straight into the camera, don't you?
You look straight into the camera and the words just roll past, just there, at the speed that you need. We turn it up or down and make sure, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water.
I love it. I've never used one of those. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah. So, boy, it makes it easy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And all the TV presenters and journalists. Yeah. That's what they use.
Yeah, yeah. And there's one on every camera, and you know, there's three or four cameras in the TV studio.
Oh, right.
And they're all synchronized together from one controller. So it doesn't matter which one they look at. you know, they look from this camera to that camera, you know, it's still scrolling at the right rate. So
that's actually a good point. Why? What's the use of having so many different cameras and so many different angles? Why do we need that?
Well, if you were just to sit there looking at me talking like this, and Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, and Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after, and I'm
static.
Still
it's very static
for an hour.
It's not as engaging.
It gets really boring. Yep. It's also an eye strain because you've got nothing to make you need to move your eyes.
No, that's a good point.
And yeah. So depending on so at least we need some changing. Now I can do it with zooming in here, but if in the camera, it could be doing the presentation here and just every now and then zoom the camera up so that we're up closer like this, and particularly when we want to emphasize a point. But if we use multiple cameras, then we can get the cable out like that. We could have one coming from this angle or another one sitting over beside that one, and it's got a much wider shot and cut between them. In the case of a presentation at a seminar, we could have one at the front of the room looking back at the audience.
That's right. So you can really tell that story from many angles.
Oh, what happened? Are you mute?
Oh. Did I lose you there?
Sorry.
you can tell that story.
I muted my PC. So did you lose me? No.
You're still here.
I muted my PC because of an alert popped up, and I forgot that actually mutes you as well. How about that? That's my IT knowledge getting a bit old. So, so you can have a wide shot and keep the tight shot from main camera, camera one, and just cut between them, and then the other shot from at the back, looking into the audience. Yeah. So every now and then you get the people sitting there falling asleep and putting their face in their breakfast or nodding their head or doing whatever they're doing. But also when they ask a question, when they ask a question of the presenter, we see them from this way, not the back of their head.
That's right. So that's really good because...
Mr. So-and-so, can you tell me about blah, 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 then cut back to the other camera while Mr. So-and-so answers the question.
Mm. So really, just to reiterate for the audience as well, you know, that's really a great insight. I never really thought of it that way. And I'm a photographer, but deal with still images. But with video, if something is static or something is very mono, it's not really dynamic at all, a way to make it more dynamic is to use different camera angles so you can actually make it more visually engaging. Exactly. And the other thing it does, as you mentioned, you have cameras set up all around the perimeter and you can tell that story from a million angles as well. So you become a storyteller as opposed to just a recorder of what's happened.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I never really thought about it that way.
Even more so. So like this guy and this one. So the three camera angles I just talked about. Mm. So this one is 4K. Mm-hmm. So is this one. So because they're 4K, that's four times the resolution of the one that we're filming on here at HD. So if I film something this wide, when I get it into my computer here, I could zoom in to a quarter of the size and it's still the same HD quality, which means that I could take any part of the screen I want and cut to that. So three cameras, three tracks in my editing software, can actually turn into five.
Yep, gotcha.
And then if someone's doing a presentation and they've got PowerPoint, I put the slides up there. So now we've got six.
Wowee.
So we can cut to the, you know, show the slide by itself. We can show the slide in the background, like where my banner is up there.
Yep.
Yeah, that could be the slide and so-and-so's here turning the wrong way. Yep. Just, you know, do pointing out stuff on that and then zoom in tight and... then a wide shot of the it's all about the editing and that and directing it. Hang on. to make the best visual effect, the most engaging effect, that will keep people watching and learning from you.
Gotcha. And in terms of, you know, I want to really give as much benefit for people that want to use video for corporate use and to really build their business. So is there any magic pill for video on, you know, any style of video that's got a, that everybody should have on their website? Or is there any particular page they should have a video? Or is it really very subjective? How do people really use video to build their business?
I have a formula, a philosophy about the types of videos and where to put them on your website. The short answer is no. There is no magic pill, one single video. There are three different types of video that need to be used in different places. On a website we're talking about. On the welcome page, the home page, it's the place where you welcome people to your site, to your business, as if you met, were greeting them in the foyer and someone's sort of sticking their head in. Yeah, have had that, that thing happen. You know, you're putting your head in a shop, but you're not wanting to go in.
Yeah.
Or you're looking through the window and someone beckons you in.
Yeah.
And you think, no, I don't want to go in and look because he'll think he's got me and he's going to try and sell me something, you know? But we don't want to try and sell someone something as soon as they go to your website.
That's right.
We want to tell them who you are and what you do and how you can solve a problem.
Yeah.
We are here to solve this type of problem.
That's right.
So if the guy was actually looking for hooks and sinkers and... well, he's obviously in the wrong place and he might as well rack off. So, but okay, yeah, I want to grow my business and people aren't connecting on my website.
Yeah.
So it's very short. It gives an overview of what you do, the problem you solve. And let's say you've got three different services or products. You give a very brief overview about each of them. Mm-hmm. Don't go into any length. Just that, you know, we change engine oil, we change spark plugs, and we do tyres.
It's not a hard sell. It's more an informational welcome.
It's what I do. Yeah, because I was looking for somewhere to get my tyres checked and see what sort of tyres. So I'm going to go to the page about tyres. I couldn't give a rat's about changing sump oil and stuff like that, using that example. And you can apply the same sort of idea to, say, an accountant or a financial advisor.
Yep.
Now, do you want to learn about self-managed super, or do you want to learn about industry super funds, or do you just want to get your tax done?
Gotcha. Yep.
So where is my problem? Tyres. So when I go there... then the video. So that first video is only 60 seconds.
Okay, just a quick one,
Yeah, could be up to 90, no more. If it's over 2 minutes, you might as well, at the end of it, be going blah, 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 because no one will ever hear it, see it. On the tyres page, someone's gone there because they want to know about tyres.
Gotcha.
So you tell them how you solve people's problems about tyres. And to use an example that I've used many times, the service shop down the road here says, because we're close to the Royal National Park, we are experts in tyres and we sell, service and maintain the tyres for peak performance. But did you know that in the Royal National Park, the roads are the roughest of anywhere in Sydney, in the Greater Sydney area, and the incidence of punctures is the greatest incidence of anywhere in this area?
Right.
Did you also know that cell phone coverage is the worst in the Royal National Park? I'm just making these up, but get the idea. And there are a lot of black dead spots on the main roads. do you live in the Royal National Park or travel through the Royal National Park to work in southern Sydney or the city? Mm-hmm. What would you do if you're coming home late one night and you've got a puncture and you're in one of those spots where the cell phone coverage?
Oh, very clever.
Do you know how to change a tyre? Mm-hmm. You can't call for help? Mm-hmm. Let us show you how to change a tyre.
Nice.
Yeah. So, oh, no, I know how to change a tyre. I don't need to do that. But, you know, someone a bit younger and perhaps a bit more petite might not know how to change a tyre. And, yep. You know, think, you know, it's pretty dangerous at night in all that bush. Mm-hmm. I just want to get out of there. So for the next 5 or 6 minutes, you could be demonstrating how to change a tyre.
Gotcha. So something that's very educational now.
Exactly. So, and I've filmed a couple of the local car dealers up the road doing a demonstration for their customers on how to change a tyre. So that type of thing added in here is giving the viewer knowledge, showing them your knowledge and the willingness to pass on your knowledge to them.
Nice.
And we're moving along that path of like, know, trust.
That's right. And video is such a powerful medium to
we're moving along that path. Yep. So you finish it up with, well, you know, I hope you never need to change a tyre out there like that and when you haven't got coverage. But if you did, I hope now you will know how to do it. And then come in and see us and we'll fix your puncture and we'll go over all your other tyres and give you a safety report.
Lovely. That's, oh, well.
And then if you buy your tyres from us, we're also going to give you, we have competitive prices on all the top brands and we'll give you free wheel balance every year and rotation.
Lovely, right.
For the life of the tyres.
So that's the second video. Now, what about the third video?
Ah, so the person says, okay, this joint has shown me how to do that, but how do I know they're not, you know, how do I know that they're really legit? We need some social proof.
Gotcha, I like that.
And for that, on the same page, we have a testimonial from someone who has bought their tyres there.
Love it.
Has had the free balance and rotation and has been happy with their service.
Beautiful. Love it. So that's what
and on one of the other pages, we have the testimonial from someone who has had their car serviced there.
Yeah.
And has had their reg. Yeah, see what I mean? So someone stands up. Now there's a formula to this as well. And it only needs to be short. 30 seconds you can usually cover it.
Okay.
Certainly you wouldn't want to someone to go for 60. Yeah. And there's a couple of other things about this too. But basically, the person will identify themselves. It's not, oh yeah, these guys give great service from Fred in Sydney.
Yep, that's it.
Who is Fred in Sydney? Yep. Seriously? What part of Sydney are we in again? Hi, my name's Paul Schieff. I live in the Sutherland Shire and my business is Paul's Productions and I create engaging video content for business. And my car has done 140,000 kilometres and, of course, like every other car, I need tyres. So recently I went down to my local shop down there and they showed me their range. I had an idea of what I wanted. They matched the tyres to my driving conditions and the type of vehicle and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was really happy with their service. They called me back to make sure that I was okay on the day that, you know, for the appointment and stuff like that. And yes, they did offer and carried through with the free rotation and wheel balance. And I'll be certainly going back to them in a couple of years when these ones have worn out.
Well done. That's what a great testimonial. Yeah. I love that.
It only needs to be a few seconds, you know. So that's on that same page. So now we've got the social proof. That's the trust.
Yep.
So what more can you do to attract somebody?
That's right.
to meet someone or go to their page, like, know, trust, and then business will follow if all the ducks have lined up.
I'll just kind of recap a little bit for everybody out there. Yep. So first of all, we've identified how powerful video is as a medium to create emotional connection with a brand and the people behind the brand, and how important it is as a visually engaging tool, because nowadays it's so competitive. Our attention is being competed with nonstop. We need to have something to catch us, grab us quickly, and you can't beat video. And now Paul's mentioned that three videos or three styles of videos should be in your website. The first video is when they enter your page, and it's more just like a quick welcome. It's like, hi, this is Darren. This is what I do. Come and check out the rest of our website. It's not a hard sell. Second video is more a little bit more detail about what you do and a little bit more education about maybe a way that you can solve your problem in a different way or something else that you can do to help you on your journey, something that actually gives you value. And then the third video is social proof, or what I call a video testimonial, which is very, very powerful. So very, very good advice, Paul. I mean, if people can think about video from those three perspectives, that'll really change people's business and their websites if they really think about using video in the right way.
And if a business doesn't have any video on their website, they're just really leaving money on the table.
That's right, 100%, especially nowadays. They
think, oh, no, I can't afford it. Yep. Well, okay. Yep. It's an investment.
Yep. And I heard today that 82% of posts on social media by 2022 or something will be video.
Yep. And it's getting close to that now.
There you go.
A few years ago, the thing was, oh, you've got to be in video. It's the thing of the future. It's no longer a thing of the future.
Oh, no way.
It's not only a thing of now, it's a thing of the past already.
That's right. You know,
the time to get into the best time to get into video was 5 years ago. Well, you know what the second best time is?
Now.
Today.
That's right. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And so tell us a bit about your work, you know, with funerals. I mean, a bit of a niche you have there in funerals. What's the story with that?
Yeah. Well, it was my pivot with the COVID restrictions, because my mate ScoMo said, you know, people don't stop dying. We can't stop people dying. But and his word was horrible, that it's horrible that people can't gather in the numbers that they want to or need to or were able to before to farewell someone in the manner that they want to.
Right.
And I thought, well, hang on. I've actually been recording funerals and memorial services and, you know, huge gatherings, small gatherings for friends and friends of friends and people through our church for over 15 years.
Wow.
But it wasn't on the menu. I thought, well,
there you go.
People don't stop dying. They can only have 10 people in a funeral service. I can help out with that. So I got about and put it on the menu. I bought a device to allow me to live stream as well.
Yep.
We're actually using it today because my big camera is plugged into my computer.
Yep.
So I thought I can go out and I can help these families who are stuck not being able to have their family and friends travel from interstate or internationally and gather together to farewell mum or dad or their loved ones.
That's right, yeah.
Have I frozen?
Yeah, you froze there for a second. Maybe you've... There, oh, yeah, you're back.
There we go. Okay, that's weird. So that's what I do. So,
That's fantastic.
My shape's gone funny.
it's slightly less wide angle now.
Yeah, okay. So live streaming is great because you can comply with all the restrictions.
Yep.
only have a few present. Family and friends around the whole world can be online and participate in the next best possible way other than actually being there on the day.
Fantastic.
Well, so that's the live stream and the recording, which are the high quality recording, which I can put up in a Dropbox or a OneDrive folder soon after, gives those that couldn't get to the live stream the opportunity to watch it again. And it's also a permanent keepsake for the family.
That's right.
to help celebrate that life. In the case of today's, they chose for the bells and whistles version. So we live streamed a single camera at the church, but I had three cameras set up in the sort of manner that I talked to you about before. And over the next few days, I'll actually cut between the three different cameras to produce that more engaging. And we'll see the fronts of the people that are sitting in the front few rows of the pews instead of just backs of heads. So, and then at the graveside, we trundled out there and live streamed fairly short service there, but it was live streamed. So, people could attend as well. In the church, we had up to 20 connections on that live stream simultaneously. Goodness knows how many people may have been sitting at each of those places. Could have been one, could have been a family of multiples.
Yep.
That's a heap of people that could not come to Sydney or be allowed in the church because of the spacing. They're only allowed maximum.
Fantastic service. Brilliant. I love it.
That's what I do. And I'm passionate about helping people and families in that time of their life and death. Mm. When otherwise they're just up against the wall saying, you know, what do we do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Grandpa had 15 grandchildren. We're only allowed 10 people at the funeral.
That's right, yeah. Good point.
You know, he's got six kids and partners who can't bring their partner, their husband or their wife, to Grandpa, to Dad's funeral. You know, it is tough. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It is horrible. Yeah. And the numbers are up now, but still the church I was at there, they had big signs up. They had every second row of the pews cordoned off.
Right.
And they had little stickers on the seats. You can sit here and then you can sit there, which meant they would have been able to fit between about 65 people in that church.
Right. Yeah.
No, about half that were there.
Wow.
But what if there'd been 50 or 100 people that in the local area that could travel but not be able to fit in that church?
Brilliant. What a great service. And I've also heard a very similar thing now in the wedding industry. People are doing wedding live streaming of small...
Yeah, I've heard that too, yeah. And it just makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. That live stream and you know, people will be part of that. Live streams certainly come of age. I'd like to have taken shares in the company Zoom earlier this year.
Absolutely.
The technology, the devices, you know, like I had the purchase to allow live streaming and that, you know, if I was making that sort of hardware, they very quickly went out of stock.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic, Paul. I mean, and if people want to learn more about video and how to use video, what do you suggest they do?
Certainly have a look at my website because there are more types of video that we haven't talked about.
Yep.
And I have, strangely enough, a dedicated page for each type of video service that I provide.
Fantastic.
And topped with a video of me speaking about that particular type of video service.
Love it.
And there's some testimonials there as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But... there's another way too. Let's get that out of my mouse. a colleague and I got together a couple of years ago, and he specialises in marketing, CRMs, lead conversion and the likes. And and he saw what I did. I made a video for him and his business, and he said, this is really something special. We should work together on a project. So together we have developed a course, a training course or an information course, that works through the why, how, where to use video to grow your business.
Beautiful.
Strangely enough, that title sounds familiar.
Yes, it does.
And it goes into more than I've been able to tell you today, in more different types of events or places that you could record video, and the benefits that you can achieve in having videos.
Awesome.
It's a 10-module course. It's based on an e-learning system. That's another thing that he does, not me. So I designed the videos. We worked on the scripting. I'm behind the camera where I belong. He's in front of the camera. And it's gone into an e-learning system. And are we going to put the link in the chat, or
definitely
follow it up on the post
in the show
later
notes.
On.
I'll put the link in the show notes for everybody. Is that that link on your website as well, by any chance?
The link's not on my website actually, but the there is a website that has this link. It's called bizmarketingproductions.com. But we'll put a link in the chat or in the following the podcast in this post here. That website basically is just there to host the course. It's a $49 course.
Fantastic. That's
not a big spend.
Very, very good value for money.
Yeah. And if you work through the course and you get to the end of it, then there's a special offer where you can have us work with you at a huge discount.
Oh, fantastic.
So, but you've got to work through the course.
You've got to earn it. You have to earn it first.
Yeah. When you know what you want to know.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a special offer there.
Oh, sensational. Mm-hmm. And now if people want to find out more about you and what you do and how to get in touch with you to do any work, what's the best way to do
it? My website's there, paulsproductions.com. I'm on Facebook in the silly pages as well as a business page, and I'm all over LinkedIn.
Fantastic.
Paul Sheaf on LinkedIn, Paul's Productions on Facebook.
Beautiful.
Awesome. They're the only social medias that I engage in, and I concentrate on them instead of scattering far and wide into all the other stuff.
Oh, look, three of the big ones. So I think that's a good
one.
And that's amazing. And I'll put, for everybody out there, I'll put all these links as well in the show notes. So after the show, you can always just click away and you can find out what Paul does, and you can also access the courses that he provides, and you can learn about how to use video to really build your business. But Paul, that's been amazing. Like, really appreciate your time, and you know, you've given
very
us
hard
loads
to scratch the surface. It's been fun.
Absolutely. You've given us amazing insight into just small insight into the psychology behind video and how why video is so important these days to build your business. And how to start actually using video, how to execute with video to actually do that on your website. So amazing.
Yeah. There's one thing that, taking us back to our conversation about making a photograph and the techniques involved around making a photograph from a photographer, many of them follow through to video. And the use of a professional or a skilled person with good equipment, and mind you, our phones are pretty good equipment these days too, are necessary if you want to convey the quality of your business and reflect it in your message to the people who you want to connect with.
Absolutely. Someone who's got a trained eye.
You want a business card. Yep. You know, do you have a nice business card like this, or one on a piece of cardboard like this? Pull up banner, signage on the car. do you just grab a spray can and do it yourself? But a lot of businesses make the mistake of phone up here, selfie, walking along the beachfront, talking to the phone, wobble cam, ramble cam, waffle cam, horrible cam.
totally agree.
Yeah. There's places for that.
Someone with a trained eye and someone that knows how to really get the best out of the situation.
Absolutely.
To allow you to put your best foot forward is very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So, Paul, is there anything you want to leave us with today? I always like my guests to leave us with a tip or two in general about video or about, you know, branding.
Basically, that was it, about the quality of your video. Yeah, as I said, there are places for the selfie or the self-made. I really don't like selfies, and certainly
self-made. I don't like that.
Not upright. Yeah. Serious, you know. You pay over $1,000 for this phone.
Yeah.
And if you've taken an upright video, you're throwing away 2/3 of the pixels.
Definitely.
That you paid $1,000 for.
That's right. Yep, definitely.
Turn it this way and suddenly you're using every single one of them. Full HD or even 4K. That way is a view rather than this way. Although photos are great this way. I put one on LinkedIn a couple of days a week when I'm doing my networking.
Fantastic.
And that's fine, you know, in that context, but it's not on my homepage or my website.
That's right. That's actually a really good point to end off on. There's same with photography, just like with photography, there's video as well, but there's a place and a purpose for every type of video, but you have to know which one goes where.
Yep.
That's the key. And that's what a professional can help you do. Yep. So Paul, thank you very much again, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk about one of my favorite topics at the end of the week before the fun weekend.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite topics too, strangely.
Go figure. But, well done for everybody out there. If you want to learn more about how you can really utilize video to help you build your business and your brand, contact Paul. If you
want
to learn about how to start executing on video, check out his course. And, you know, if any questions, of course, ask me or ask Paul and we can answer them for you as well.
Visit me on LinkedIn too, because I've got a lot of posts and articles that will help you in this context as well.
Fantastic.
And you'll see examples of stuff that I've that I've talked about in there. And on my website, there are lots of real life examples of videos that I've produced in the appropriate categories on the appropriate pages.
That's right. Perfect. And as we mentioned before,
over the years,
video is crucial nowadays. So it's really important to start getting comfortable with it before it's too late.
I'll leave you with a final quote. Video is the most engaging medium you can use to get your message out. Now, we'll do a one and a two. Who made that quote? Was it Paul Sheaf?
Right.
Or was it Abraham Lincoln?
I would love to say it's Paul Sheaf, but I was going to say it's Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, right. Yeah, in the
old days, he was using iPhones back then.
Everything you see on the internet.
Did they even have cameras back then?
No.
Not even analog cameras.
Yeah, a thing with a big black cloth that goes over the back.
Yeah.
And a thing that you light and then flashes.
That's right. Yeah. Perfect. Well done, mate.
They didn't have internet and they didn't have video.
No, well done. But so true. Really, really true.
Yes.
Video is crucial and, you know, it's something that you really have to get comfortable with because it can really help you build your business and connect with
you. Absolutely.
That's the key.
You want 60% to 80%+ increase in engagement on your website? follow my formula and include some engaging videos strategically placed through your website.
Yep, definitely. Well, Paul, thank you very much again. And for all the audience out there, have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you next week for another episode of the podcast. Thanks again, Paul.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, mate.